Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to talk about the gospel text for today. Just before our gospel text for today, however, there were about three things that had happened that kind of helped set the tone for here. Just before our text for today, Jesus had confronted the Pharisees about the topic of divorce. They had approached him to see if they could get him to slip up and to, of course, discredit Jesus or discredit his message. Next, after that incident, Jesus takes a little child to his lap and sets that child on his lap and says, "You must become as this little child has in your faith," is what he is saying. This is kind of a jab at the Pharisees who refused to believe in him but wanted to instead trust the righteousness, their own righteousness, and following the law to gain their salvation. Then Jesus was approached by a rich man who wanted to follow him, but in the end could not give up his wealth. Although he thought he had obeyed all of God's commands perfectly, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees thought they had, he had, in fact, not even mastered the very first commandment: "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He was breaking the first commandment because he was idolizing his riches and refused to give it up to follow Jesus. He and the Pharisees were still trying to get right with God through their obedience to the law, instead of by grace through faith. The Pharisees thought themselves better than others, and certainly more deserving of God than those low-life, unclean Gentiles. This now leads Jesus to the parable of the tenants in the vineyard, with the ones who worked the longest symbolizing the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, at the height of the coronavirus, restrictions were placed on us, and there were many people who, at least initially, didn't have jobs. Unemployment rates soared. For them, the days, I'm sure, were long and boring. Many tried to find work, and many, of course, had families to support. But no one was hiring at first. There were no jobs to be had, and that unemployment rate kept going up, the highest I have seen probably in my lifetime. I don't know about you. I suppose some may have spent times hanging around different places hoping to find a job at a place that might offer work. Many probably went to the temp agencies trying to get a job that way. Some went to Minnesota Works, maybe. Is that what we call it still, the Minnesota Unemployment Bureau for the government? So, if you've never been unemployed, imagine being in their shoes and looking for any odd job just to make a little bit of money. But nobody is hiring. By lunchtime, your chances are growing slim, aren't they? And you're not going to get a whole lot for only a half a day's pay by that time in the day. As 3 o'clock rolls around, you might just give up and sit under a shade tree someplace and wonder what you were going to do when you went home that evening. Another day without work, without income, coming home with absolutely nothing to show for it to your family who was counting on you to support them. Now, at about almost supper time, someone approaches you with a chance to work. One hour of paid work might at least buy some supper for the night. You could stop by Arby's or Hardee's and at least pick up something for your family. It's better than nothing. So you follow your new employer to a field. He's just come along. He's seen you sitting there, and he's offered you something to do in that last hour. You follow him to a field, and he has something he wants you to do. He wants to put you to work only for 1 hour. He has you piling up mulch around the base of the grapevines. He has you tying up the little vines so they don't break off. He has you trimming the dead twigs and the dead leaves off of these grapevines so they produce better grapes. Before you can even get your hands dirty, the whistle blows. It's quitting time. Does any place still use a whistle for that anymore? I honestly don't know. Your workday is over, you line up with the other workers to get paid, and you, working 1 hour, are pushed to the front of the line. You get paid first, And you don't expect much because you've, after all, only worked one single hour that day. And lo and behold, you are surprised because a full day's pay is placed in your hands. There's a mistake there, you think. And you tell the boss, I've only worked an hour. You paid me for the whole day. You paid me for work I didn't do. Yes, the boss says, I paid you for work you didn't do. But I want to give this to you. I want you to go home, feed your family, take care of your house, and not worry. This is my gift to you. So in amazement and with a puzzled look on your face, you simply say thank you. And you go home with a full day's pay. What a strange and amazing experience. These things don't happen, do they? Why should anyone be paid a full day's work for working only 1 hour? You didn't earn that money. You didn't deserve what the boss gave you. The other workers, they endured the heat, the hot sun of the day. They sweated. Their hands are torn by the thorns. They're bloody. They've worked a full day for their pay, but you worked merely 1 hour and received a full day's pay. Wouldn't a fair boss give each worker what they deserved? Shouldn't he have paid you for only 1 hour? Isn't that the way the world's supposed to operate? If you punch a clock, you get paid by the clock exactly as it records your time. That's considered fair. But not everyone in this world punches a time clock. And God, our Father, doesn't punch a time clock. Jesus didn't punch a time clock. And as Christians, we will sometimes stand before God with a look of amazement on our face. And we'll say things like, God, I can't believe what you have given me. I don't deserve the blessings of this life you've given me. I've sinned greatly. I've done some terrible things. I messed up time and again, and I wonder how sinful I must really appear to you some days. I've not loved you as I should. I've not followed the golden rule with my neighbor. Oftentimes, our track record embarrasses us, doesn't it? If our life could be handed to God like a time card, we'd have to say, God, here's my accomplishments, but here also our many failures. I wonder if I've really done anything for you and your kingdom. So many times I was asleep at the wheel. Now, to our amazement, God takes the time card we hand him, that is our good works, and he runs it through the shredder. It's gone. It's in one of those that shreds it so much you can't even put the pieces together anymore. And then he turns and gives us something unbelievable. Something absolutely unbelievable. He says, I give you my son. Who then says, I give you my life to pay for your sins on the cross. And I give you new life, which starts right now and continues into eternity through the valley of the shadow of death and then into heaven. My empty tomb is the proof of this. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's my desire to give this life to you because it's something you can't earn by yourselves. And I know that, says our Heavenly Father. Those who worked for an hour were more than surprised. Those who worked all day were also in disbelief. They were probably saying, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. Fair. However, the boss was overjoyed to be able to show kindness to those needy people who'd only worked for 1 hour. After all, their families were hungry. Their child, their children needed clothes. Their debts were piling up. This boss had blessings in abundance and was happy to share his blessings from God with these people. He was able, willing, and ready to help out. When those hired late in the day were given their pay, they weren't given what they deserved or earned. They were given more than that, and they were given it in abundance. Now, the region, Perea, where Jesus is preaching, this is to the east of the Jordan and maybe down a little bit to the south, is likely a mix of Jews and Gentiles. With this in mind, Jesus is now sensitive to letting the Gentiles mixed in with the Jewish listeners know about the mercy of God. This is pure missions here. This is outreach. The Gentiles and half-Jews mixed in with the pure Jews are to be compared to the workers who were hired at the last moment. Jesus is telling them that their heavenly Father is just as desirous that they be saved as those Jews they're rubbing shoulders with. Just because they're not among the chosen of Israel, the pure Jews, doesn't mean that God will not share his salvation mercies with them. They will not be left empty-handed. God's grace is not merited, it is not deserved, it is a free gift, and for all who would repent and believe. Such is our God, who will also never leave us empty-handed. When we approach our God in prayer, trusting in the promises he's made to us, we will not go away disappointed. We know that our God gives us exactly what we need, when we need it, and in his good time, when is appropriate. His timing is perfect. He rejoices to be able to provide for our needs. It's surprising to see that God even gives us that which we don't deserve. God's generosity knows no limits. Ours is limited. You might give as much as you had in your wallet that day. You might put a couple hundred on the credit card. But our giving is not unlimited like God's. God's generosity knows absolutely no limits. God is always ready to impart the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice to us, the forgiveness of our sins. Day in and day out, our Heavenly Father comes to us and he says, "It's payday. Although your sins don't deserve you to be paid and didn't earn what I want to give you, still I am loving and generous. And I desire to give you that which you wouldn't otherwise be able to get." You see, God is a boundless and generous God. He has been generous in our past. He's generous in the present. And will be generous towards us, his children, by grace through faith in the life and world to come. That is his promise to all who believe and are baptized. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen. Please rise. We'll continue on page 9 of the Prayers of the Church. Let us pray, that we may seek the Lord while he may still be found, call upon him in the day of salvation, and be prepared by his mercy for the day of judgment. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
That the Lord may bless missionaries far and near, that he may nurture newly planted congregations, and that he may renew those congregations in distress, that those from every nation and culture may be united with us in faith and life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
That the sick may be healed, the troubled know peace, the grieving be comforted, and the dying be delivered to everlasting life in Christ. And especially today for Francis, Luella, Xenia, Jersey, Dorothy, Claire, Ruth Ann, Ryan, Mark, Willard, and Evelyn, Sandra, Leisha, Brianna, Carol, Ruth, Jan, Phyllis, Michael, Gracie, Arnita, Carolyn, Dale, Amy, Marie, Joe, and Dolores, Pam and Tyler, and that we may all be delivered from fear, anxiety, and despair by God's gracious care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We offer a special prayer of thanksgiving for the birth of a grandson, Liam, to Kim Schoen. We thank you for the gift of new life, and we pray that this child will be raised in the faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Visit, O Lord, the homes in which your people dwell, and keep all harm and danger far from them. We especially remember this week Carolyn and Linda Horn and Sandy Isaacs. May your blessings be upon them and their loved ones. And grant that we may dwell together in peace under the protection of your holy angels, sharing eternally in your blessings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear the prayers of your people, O Lord, and grant to us all things good and wholesome, and keep us from all things harmful. Give us contentment, that trusting in your mercy, we may delight in your saving will, where the last are made first by your generosity and grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.